Congregation may be seated. This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to once again invite you to reach for your worship bulletin. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take sermon notes and to write down what God will ultimately lay on your heart this morning that He desires for you to take out with you this week as a Christ follower. You'll also find a place for you to reflect further upon the sermon we'll hear today through some take-home sermon reflections. If you're in need of something to write with today, I encourage you to raise your hand high, and one of our ushers would be glad to get a pen into your hand. This time, I'd like to invite you also to turn your attention to the screens for today's introductory sermon video. Let's take a look.
Jesus was celebrating the Passover at a meal with his disciples. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and wine from the table and said, "This is my body, this is my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins." After the meal, Jesus and his disciples went into a nearby garden to pray. The disciples fell asleep, but Jesus continued to pray, emotionally asking God for some way out of what was about to happen, but saying that it was ultimately up to God. Just as he finished, a large crowd with swords and clubs led by Jesus' disciple Judas came and arrested Jesus. Another one of his disciples, Peter, tried to defend Jesus. He took out his sword and cut off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. But Jesus told him to put away his sword and reached out and touched the man's ear and healed him. Jesus was led away, beaten and spit on by those who arrested him, and he was taken to the Roman governor, Pilate. Pilate told the crowd that he could find no real charges to bring against Jesus. But the crowd screamed out, "Crucify him," demanding that Jesus be executed. So Pilate handed Jesus over to be killed. When Judas saw that Jesus was going to be killed, he was filled with regret and sadness for betraying him. So he went back to the Jewish leaders, gave them their bribe money, and went out into a field and hanged himself. Jesus was crucified, nailed by his hands and feet to a wooden cross. Then, even though it was only noon, the sun stopped shining, and darkness came over the whole land. Hanging from the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Someone nearby then gave Jesus a drink by filling a sponge and lifting it up to Jesus on a long stick. After Jesus took a drink, he said, "It is finished," and died. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook. When the guards and the others around Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified, saying, "Surely he was the Son of God."
If you would, take a moment to finish the following thought. When I hear the words "access denied," I think of, what's the answer to that question look like for you? How do you finish the thought above on the screens this morning? When I hear the words "access denied," I think of, how many of you are led to think about a time you locked your keys in your house or some other part of your humble abode? You rushed outside late for work, and you realize, I forgot the keys. And you go back for the front door, and the front door is what? It's locked. Access denied, right? Ever happened to you this morning? Maybe some of you thought about a family vacation, right? And you take the whole troop with you across country. You pile everybody in the minivan SUVs. You've bought enough supplies at Costco or Sam's Club to satisfy a herd of cattle, and you toss it in the back to satisfy and keep the peace, and you make your way across the country, and you stop at that first rest stop. Everybody piles out, shut the door, and there are the keys in the van. And to make matters worse, the dog that you wanted to leave at home, but everybody said you had to bring with, somehow found a way to hit the lock button. And there you are looking through the window, trying to motion, you know, hit the up button, unlock. Access denied, right? For me, if I was to finish that statement this morning, when I hear the words access denied, I think of a situation that took place several years ago, back in 2009. Back in 2009, I had the opportunity to serve a congregation in Southern Maryland, and as an opportunity to get to know one of the families in the church, I volunteered to take care of their alpaca farm. How many of you know what an alpaca is? Yeah, like a smaller, feisty version of a llama, right? Yeah. So for 2 weeks, I'm taking care of the animals. I'm tending to the farm. And being a farm boy from Nebraska, I think, I can do this, right? I've braved pigs and cows and family members. I can do this, right? It's a long 2 weeks. The last day finally came, and I go into the house to change my clothes, to put on the chore clothing and the boots, and I walk out the door, and I realize, I forgot my gloves. You need the gloves, right? So I go back, and I reach for the handle of the door, and the door is what? It's locked. Now, the family is somewhere in the lower 48 states, not anywhere near Southern Maryland. There's no spare set of keys. Access is denied, except in a full moment of transparency here, except for a small doggy door. 6'3", not 6'3". I twisted, and I turned, and I bent. Now, keep in mind, too, it just so happened that this family had worked it out that some contractors would be working on the farm that same day. So while I'm twisting my body through this little doggy door, the guys back here are working on the roof of the garage, and they're getting the show of their life. And I'm thinking, tonight on YouTube, local church workers stuck in doggy door. Make a long story short, and by the grace of God and with a small garden shovel, I was able to work back the latch and to get inside. But make no mistake about it, when you come face to face with a situation where access is denied, it is not pleasant. And maybe you found that to be true in your own life. This morning, if we were to ask this question or set this thought in front of some of the gospel writers, and maybe even some of the other authors of Scripture who were inspired to write through the working of the Holy Spirit, they might finish this thought with the following. When I hear the words access denied, I think of the consequences of sin. So in other words, the things that happen in my life that lead to separation and brokenness. The things that don't make for healthy conversations, situations, thoughts, words, and deeds. The things I do to damage my relationship with the Lord and with other people. When I hear the words, access denied, I think of the consequences of sin. And maybe, just maybe, as we take a moment to hit the slow down and the pause button this morning, maybe we come to think about situations that have been happening in our lives this week or maybe even this morning where we felt that because of something that happened, right now it feels like these big, ugly red letters are flashing before our eyes. Access denied. Today we come to a critical point in our journey through the story. And for those of you who haven't been able to be with us thus far, the story has allowed us to take a look at God's Word chronologically from Genesis to Revelation. And finally, we've come to the point of looking at the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. In the last couple of weeks, we've taken a look at some of the things that Jesus has done to show that God is with his people. He showed his mastery over creation. He showed his mastery over illness and disease, struggles and strife, demon possession, death itself, and so forth. Last week, we talked about Jesus and his claims that he would make, and we talked about how so oftentimes you and I are introduced to a lot of claims throughout the week, but the question is, can it actually do what it says it will do? And last week, we heard and we left without a doubt that Jesus is able to do what he said he would do. But despite everything he's doing, despite the teaching, the feedings, the healings, The Jewish leadership of the day wants to shut this Jesus down. Well, guess what? They get their opportunity, and they capitalize it on it. And they nail the Son of God to a cross. And Matthew records this for us in chapter 27. And I don't know if you've ever taken a look at this account, and maybe I encourage you to take a closer look at it after worship today. There are some miraculous things happening as Jesus gives up his life for you and for me on the cross. And we heard some of these today. For example, thick darkness comes over the whole land. Jesus at one point says, "I am the light of the world." The light of the world is slowly dying, and it's dark. Matthew picks it up for us in verse 50-51. He says this, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two." You tell me, which direction was it torn? Top to bottom. Now, I haven't seen too many curtains torn in my day, or at least that I'm willing to admit before you today, as I think back to my own childhood. Curtains typically tear from bottom to top. In this situation, it's like God is reaching down himself and ripping apart this big curtain to say in a loud way, "On account of Jesus, my son, for you, it is now access granted. Access to grace that we didn't deserve. Access to mercy we didn't deserve. Access to forgiveness and hope that we didn't deserve. But that he gives to you and to me freely on account of Jesus. Access granted." One of the things that we might maybe lose because of culture and time is this, the temple. You see, in this setting, this crucifixion setting, in the city of Jerusalem sits a temple. And we've heard a little bit about this as we've journeyed through the story, haven't we? About the temple, this place where a priest would go and make sacrifices for sins, for wrongdoings, for baggage, for the things that people did to break their relationship with God and with each other. And even the temple itself, for as much as it was set up to be an exchange of actions of faith on the part of the people in relational strengthening, it sadly enough at times came down to brick and mortar that served as a barrier between God and people. However, there is a day of atonement. And if I could share with you what one scholar writes, let me back up here. "On this most holy day, the most holy person in Israel performed the most holy rite in the most holy place with the most holy blood from the most holy animals so that the sinful Israelites could have safe access to their most holy God." So once again, they have this temple, and there's restrictions, and there's some access, but not full access. And in some ways, even though it's supposed to provide some elements of access granted, in some ways, it's still communicating access denied, because there's only so far you can go to approach God. Somebody else will do it for you. It's like the prophet Isaiah shared in chapter 59. "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." Any math people out there today? Sin equals separation equals access denied. So you have this day of atonement where the most holy guy goes into the most holy place with the most holy blood of the most holy animal to make atonement for sin. But is that how God works in your life and in my life today? Certainly not. Today, once again, we are reminded that because of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, because of his death on the cross for you and for me, it is now access granted. You and I don't need to go through the blood of an animal. You don't need to go through another person. You don't need to go through a building. You have direct access to your living God. Amen? In light of Jesus' death and resurrection for you and for me, let me ask you this. What present barriers or walls need to come down in your life? When you think about your relationship with the Lord, what things are there that maybe need to be torn down today. As you think about your relationships with other people, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a classmate, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a neighbor. Yeah, that neighbor. What walls and barriers need to be torn down today so that when someone leaves their time with you, they hear that message proclaimed through you as a Christ follower? Access granted. Access to what? How about the grace of God? How about the patience of God? How about the kind of love, mercy, and forgiveness that puts the other person first at all costs? Praise Lutheran Church. Let me give you an example. Years ago, when I was serving a congregation in Richmond, Virginia, a big part of our congregation's DNA was to go out into the community and to share our faith in a number of different ways, to be relational, to not be defined by our set of property lines or our building, but to be defined by the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. So we would oftentimes go out through a number of different events and activities that would give us opportunities to foster a context where we could begin to build relationships with our neighbors and with people who would not set foot in a building, no matter what it looked like, no matter how great the paint was, no matter how good the AV was. A certain grandfather from the community had been invited no less than 3 times to a neighborhood event. The night of the event came, and he's walking down the street, and it's actually an outdoor event, and there's a big sign out by the road that says, "Community Welcome," and he walks right past. So I meet him at the next event, and in the strength of relationship, I ask him, I said, "So, missed you at the last event," and he said, "I didn't know if I could go because I'm not a member." He said, "You see, when we were growing up, if the church was doing something outside and you weren't a member, you didn't know if you could go." And I thought, man, here's someone who's been invited to an event at least 3 times, and he still doesn't know if he can come. He still doesn't know if it's access granted. In some way, shape, or form, he's still wrestling with the red words, "access denied." So what that told me and what that told the congregation is, we need to be the congregation without walls, without barriers. And sometimes that looks like taking a hard look at the building and asking the question, is this getting in the way of somebody knowing Jesus? If it is, then it's time to go outside. But it also takes honestly answering this question for ourselves this morning. Have I been putting up walls intentionally in my life so that people don't get to see Jesus? They don't get to see or sense his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his love. This week, what will the answer to this question look like for us? As members of Praise Lutheran, what work will we be willing to do beyond the walls to share this message? On the account of Jesus, it is now access granted. May God grant us the answer to that question, and may God grant us the boldness to act upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.